Chapter 9. I fell asleep with Adhara in my arms shortly after her radio call. The excitement and sex had worn us both out, and it didn't take long for us to drift off on her comfortable mattress. When I woke up, I realized we hadn't closed the sleeping room doors, so the jungle was visible from our bed, and the sun looked like it was just rising. There was a hazy orange glow among the palm trees, and it illuminated the gorgeous sight of the woman beside me. Adhara was still naked with her long lilac limbs curled into me, and her silver hair fell over her face as she slept soundly. I gently stroked the silver strands behind her ear, and her emerald green eyes fluttered open to meet mine. "Good morning," I whispered, and she hummed as she stretched.
"It is morning,"
Adhara yawned, and I pulled her gently by the hips for a kiss. Her soft lips met mine, and I stroked her slim waist as we enjoyed each other's touch for several minutes. I wanted to spend more time in bed with her, but I knew we needed to get back to the base before it got too late. Quan made a point to keep Heiwan out of my bedroom, and I had no idea how he would feel about me spending the night with Adhara before I married his daughter. I sat up just at the thought of how much I had to look forward to. I was fucking getting married. I climbed off the bed and into the control room, and Adhara yawned as she followed me. Then she started to pull her flight suit back on, and I watched as her smooth pussy and perky breasts were tucked back into her lacy lingerie. "I like waking up with you," I told the beautiful alien. "You're fucking gorgeous."
"Thank you."
She smiled wide and fluttered her eyelashes.
"I also like to wake up with you. Can we do the meeting again soon?"
"Hell yes," I laughed. "I can't believe I got to have sex with you in a spaceship. I never thought either of those things would happen in my life." I looked out at the forest as I slipped my shoes on. The trees outside looked still, and I could tell it was going to be a gorgeous day on the island. Once we were both fully dressed, we headed out of the control room and jumped through the force field. The forest was stunning in the early morning light, and the bright colors of the flowers glowed around us. There was no wind, and the only sound was the shrill chirp of a nearby bird. "This place is incredible," I muttered, as we checked around the clearing for any signs of movement.
"I like many things about it,"
Adhara agreed.
"Much more warm than Ravenscar."
I nodded in agreement as we hurried through the trees toward the tall hedge wall, and we stepped through the dense greenery into the smaller clearing. There were two men standing outside the black building this morning, and they leaned against the wall and smoked hand-rolled cigarettes as they watched us approach. "Morning," I said as we walked over. "We were just checking everything was okay with the ship." The two men said nothing as we headed for the entrance, but their eyes followed Adhara as they took slow drags of their smokes. I couldn't tell if they didn't speak English or just didn't care enough to reply. I put a hand on Adhara's back as we stepped into the glass elevator and hoped they wouldn't report back to Quan that I'd been sneaking around the jungle with the alien. Adhara smiled widely as the elevator started to move, and she hummed softly as we sped downward. "You seem happy," I said as I leaned closer to her ear.
"I am."
She gave a cute little nod.
"I finally got to mate with you. I am filled with your sperm, and I spoke to my friend. It is a good day."
"You couldn't ask for more," I laughed, as the elevator reached the lobby.
"I do want more of your sperm inside of me."
She tilted her head.
"As much as possible. Is that not okay to ask for more?"
"It's an expression," I laughed. "Means you're content with what you received."
"Oh, then yes. Very much."
She smiled wide at me. There were a few people shuffling in and out of the room on the other side of the glass doors, and most of them seemed too busy with their own conversations to pay much attention to us. "Let's get some breakfast," I said, as we strode past the stone dragon. "I'm starving after all the exercise we got last night." Adhara hummed as we walked toward the dining room, and I felt on top of the world. I finally knew the beautiful alien shared my intimate emotions. And I also knew how unbelievably fantastic she felt to fuck and hold in my arms. She'd even managed to get a message out to her fellow scout, and he might have already been in contact with the other aliens. It felt like life was about to change for the better around here. When we got into the dining hall, I saw the girls were already up and seated. They were at the same large table we had eaten at before, and Heiwan's brothers were with them. There wasn't any sign of Quan, and G was busy filling up the teapots with hot water.
Morning,
Kat said with a raised eyebrow as she saw us stride over to the table. Becca grinned at us, and Haywan smirked, and I just knew they'd figured out we'd spent the night together. Haywan's brothers didn't seem to notice, or if they did, they didn't let it show.
Good morning, Sunhee said, as he spooned rice into his mouth. Have you been out already?
Just briefly, I said. We went to go check the radio and the ship, and Adhara actually managed to talk to one of the other scouts.
No way!
Becca gasped as she put down her teacup.
Are you serious? So you told them?
Haywan asked.
About the mistake?
Min Jun wrinkled his forehead as he looked at his sister, and I wondered if Haywan had gotten around to telling her brothers any of the story.
I told one scout of the trouble.
Adhara nodded.
He said he will try to pass it on to the rest of my people. Fuck.
Kat whispered.
I can't believe you actually sent it. So this whole thing could be over soon?
Ah, Jason!
G rushed over before I could answer, and she ushered me to sit down as she placed full bowls of food down onto the table. I took a seat between Becca and Sunhee, and the warming spices of breakfast wafted up from the table.
You are going to get wedding outfits today, yes?
G asked as she poured black tea into my cup.
The boys will show you the way.
Sure. I grinned as I looked over at Haywan, and my Korean lover blushed and smiled back. I'm excited to pick something out. Are you coming with us, G?
Oh, no.
She smiled.
I have plenty of clothes here already. Make sure you are careful when you go, yes? Take all the weapons you can.
We know, Tay sighed as he picked at his breakfast. G patted me on the shoulder before she made her way to the next table to serve some tea, and the dining hall started to get busier as more of Kwan's men came in to fuel up for the day. I couldn't stop smiling as I ate. Things were going right for the first time in what seemed like forever. And while the girls chatted about what they were going to wear at the wedding, Adhara kept sending me the cutest little smiles while she hummed quietly to herself. I smiled at all my girls as I let all the tension of the dino apocalypse leave my system, and I focused on the more important things. Soon I'd be a husband with two babies on the way, and it looked like those babies would grow up in a dino-free world. Not to mention, I'd just had sex with the most beautiful alien imaginable. And I couldn't help wondering if Adhara would be bearing a half-alien baby with me in the future, too. And Kat had also said she wanted to go off the pill. Would I maybe have four kids soon? It sounded crazy, but after going through a dinosaur apocalypse, the urge to propagate and be a daddy was burning deep in my stomach. Either way, life was really good, and part of me wanted to stay in the spaceship all day until we got another response from the scout. But I knew it might take a while before he was able to send a message back. Min Jun rose from the table as he wiped his mouth, and he carried his empty bowl over to a basin full of dirty dishes. The huge, stern-faced man gave his mother a light kiss on the cheek before he strode out of the dining hall without another word. One of the girls who helped G with the food nearly walked into a wall because she couldn't stop staring after him, and I snorted as the poor girl blushed and looked around in hopes no one saw.
We are going to move the trucks round, Tay said as he stood up. We will meet you upstairs shortly.
I wanted to get more breakfast, Sunhee groaned, and his older brother sighed.
You eat like a horse, Tay said. Come on, let us work off some of that food.
Sunhee shoveled another spoonful of fruit into his mouth as he stood up, and he gave us a cheery wave.
See you upstairs, he said as Tay dragged him off.
I waved after the brothers, and G wiped something from Sunhee's face as he passed.
I can't believe the message got sent,
Kat said as she stirred sugar into her tea.
This is unreal.
How long do you think it would take the scouts,
Haywan asked,
to get the information to the others? I cannot tell,
Adhara said as she picked up some meat with her chopsticks.
I hope very much that it will be soon.
I am super excited for the aliens to come blast the dinos,
Becca said.
But we do have another pressing matter to discuss.
What?
Haywan asked, and Becca smirked as she gestured to me.
What exactly were Jason and Adhara up to so early?
The blonde Brit giggled.
I think I might have an idea,
Haywan said as she sidled closer to me.
Did you both have some fun in this spaceship?
We mated,
Edhara proclaimed as she smiled from ear to ear.
It was very excellent, just like you said it would be. Much more fun than I could imagine. He filled me with his sperm 3 times, and I felt very good over and over again. Jason is a skilled mate, isn't he?
Heiwan batted her eyes at me. Shush, I chuckled.
No,
the Korean snorted.
Adhara, tell me everything. First, he gave me all of the pleasure with his mouth, and I, come?
The lilac woman looked at me with a focused scowl.
This is the word you told me to say, yes?
The other girls giggled their asses off as I blushed a bit, but I nodded in the affirmative. Yeah, that's correct, I muttered.
Yes, I like to come with Jason,
Edhara assured my lovers.
He makes me come with his mouth and, cock? His male part. It is much larger than the males of my race, and they only produce a few drops of sperm in my memories. Jason poured much inside of me. 3 times. But I repeat myself now. I am very happy. I hope I am like Hewan and Becca now. I wish for a child to grow inside of me.
And there you have it. I cleared my throat.
Finally,
Kat snickered.
I feel like that's been begging to happen for ages.
Welcome to the club, Edhara.
Becca nodded.
We'll make a t-shirt for you and hold the official swearing-in ceremony.
I think they already had a swearing-in ceremony,
Heiwan said, and Becca snorted with laughter.
And I think Jason really, really enjoyed himself. God damn.
Kat sighed as she bit her lip and looked at me.
I've got baby fever so bad.
Sick with baby?
Edhara scrunched up her nose.
Means she wants Jason to knock her up like us,
Becca snickered.
In the club and all that. Did you stop taking your pills yet, Kat?
I may have forgotten to yesterday.
Kat laughed, but then she looked at me and blushed a deep red.
That okay, Jason?
Yeah. I smiled and the room began to spin.
But tell us more about last night's shagging,
Becca said as she smiled wide at me. I more than enjoyed myself, I said with a shameless grin, and I couldn't help but replay the scenes in my head.
How many times did you enjoy yourself?
Becca goaded.
3?
Yeah, I shrugged.
Good,
Heiwan smirked.
And you pumped her full of warm sperm? Yes, I got much sperm,
the alien giggled, and she sent me a shy smile as my girls snickered with pride.
It was dripping out of me at the end. I was too full.
Oh, so hot.
Kat sighed as she fanned herself.
Fuck, I want to watch next time,
Becca announced.
Yeah, we're all invited.
Kat nodded. I chuckled as Edhara blushed dark purple, but she was smiling just as much as the girls, and it warmed my heart to see her already blending seamlessly with our erotic little family. I wolfed down my breakfast and drank the strong tea as the girls carried on teasing Edhara in the sweetest way. But eventually they started talking about the wedding.
I can't believe we're getting to go dress shopping,
Becca gushed.
My mum would be so jealous. She shops like it's an Olympic sport. What is Olympic sport?
Edhara asked.
It's like games,
Kat said.
Competitive games that test how fast and strong you are.
Olympic,
the alien muttered to herself as she sipped her tea.
Olympic, Olympic.
When we had finished up our breakfast, we rose up from the table and brought our dirty dishes to the basin. A few of the residents glanced our way, and their eyes lingered on Edhara, but nobody spoke to us. Where's Kwan today? I asked, as we headed for the lobby.
He was just finishing his coffee when we arrived,
Heiwan said.
He said he has important business today.
Mysterious, I grinned. I can't believe my father-in-law is going to be the underground king. Does that make me a prince?
If you want,
Heiwan giggled.
Maybe we will find you a crown to wear.
Yeah, that would make me seem really humble, I agreed. A nice down-to-earth crown for my wedding day. In the lobby, there was a middle-aged woman reading a book on a bench near the water feature, and 2 men in deep conversation leaned against the stone dragon. The armed guards were 2 men I didn't recognize, and they gave us a quick nod as we made our way into the elevator. I patted my belt to make sure the fire sword hilt was secure, and I ran a hand over the smooth bronze metal of the sharp gun. The image of the massive sea dino we had fought in the river ran through my mind,
and I hoped we wouldn't have to cross any more bridges on our run for wedding clothes.
Where's the village we're going to?
Kat asked as she leaned against the immaculately clean glass walls.
I'm not sure,
Heiwan replied.
I do not know which places my father is in charge of.
He said the east side of the island is his domain, I said as we sped past the floor with the spa. The village we went to yesterday was pretty small, and I didn't see any shops or anything, so I'm guessing the one we're going to must be a bit bigger if it's got a wedding shop.
There are cities on the island as well as villages,
Heiwan said.
We might be going to one of them.
The elevator came to a stop inside the small black building, and we stepped out into the South Korean morning. It was slightly cooler than the day before, and the wind rustled the hedge leaves as clouds rolled across the sky. There were three men in a huddle in the clearing with cups of coffee and cigarettes, and they nodded at Heiwan as she passed, but they ignored the rest of us. We stepped through the hedge wall and found Heiwan's brothers already waiting for us with two of the trucks parked and ready.
Whoa,
Kat said as she walked around the vehicles.
These are nice.
They were custom built for our father, Sun-hee grinned, by the same company that manufactures the vehicles for the South Korean army.
Of course, I chuckled. Let me guess, some guy at the company owed your dad a favor?
He is a man who is owed a lot of favors, Tae shrugged. Lucky for us, those favors are usually paid generously.
Can I drive one?
Kat asked as she examined the thick wheels.
Only we drive the trucks, Min Joon said firmly. That is the rule.
Oh,
Kat said.
Well, I was in the military, so
family I- only,
Min Joon repeated before he opened one of the driver's seats and climbed inside. Kat scowled, and I kissed her curly head before she started an argument.
Down, girl, I murmured in her ear.
I should be driving,
she informed me with a haughty glance. I know, I agreed, and the sexy corporal pouted a bit as I patted her ass. Next time.
I hope so,
Kat groaned. Tae took his spot in the other driver's seat, and he started the engine of the truck.
Military girl, Sun-hee called. You can ride in the front, okay?
Deal,
Kat immediately agreed, and I chuckled as she jogged over and climbed into the passenger seat of Tae's truck.
I will ride with my grumpy brother,
Heiwan sighed as she climbed in next to Min Joon.
Okay, Sun-hee agreed. So, two in the back of each.
I'll ride with you,
Becca offered the youngest brother.
I have a million questions about your family.
You got it,
Sun-hee laughed, and he helped Becca clamber up into the wide storage space in the back of Tae's truck. I guess we're riding here then, I said to Adhara, and we climbed into the storage space of Min Joon's ride. There were two little ledges along the side of the truck to sit on, and some small boxes were tucked into the corner I assumed were full of spare ammo. Adhara and I sat on opposite sides of the truck for a better view of potential attackers, and Min Joon started the engine. Heiwan shuffled around to look at us as her brother drove us away from the clearing.
He says we are going to Seogwipo,
the Korean beauty said.
It is a very beautiful city. It will have everything we need.
Awesome. I grinned as the trucks hurtled over the jungle floor, and we drove a different direction from when we went to the village. We stayed under the cover of the trees for a while, and the conversations ended as we kept an eye out for long claws or hidden tails. The wind made it difficult to hear the noises of the jungle properly, and I kept mistaking the rustle of leaves for an approaching dino. I rested my finger on the sharp gun trigger as I stared out into the bright forest, and soon the trees started to become less dense as we approached a concrete road. Min Joon's truck sped along in front of Tae's, and as we came out of the jungle, the brothers started to slow down.
Whoa, I breathed as I looked at the view from the road.
We were on high ground, and there were long stretches of dark green land that led out onto a stunningly white beach. The water looked crystal clear, and the sand was bright and clean. We drove down the hill, and when I twisted around to look further up the road, I could see what I assumed was Seogwipo ahead. Tall buildings and billboards ran along the coastline, and I could see brightly colored shop fronts with Korean signage. As we approached the sprawl of the city, we passed a sign that advertised open top bus tours, and a bloody claw mark ran through the cheerful picture. Tae and Min Joon drove side by side as we rolled into what looked like a main shopping street, and there were multiple smashed windows beside blood-stained sidewalks.
Keep on high alert, Min Joon said over his shoulder. There were many people in this city. That means many dinosaurs came to find them.
We drove past a grocery store with stands of decayed fruit along the window, and there was a trail of smashed glass and dark stains leading inside. I gripped my sharp gun tightly as Min Joon turned down a narrow street, and the other truck followed right along behind us. The street had a number of small shops that all appeared to have their windows intact. The sidewalk was narrow, and there were apartments with little balconies above us.
It is here,
Haewon called out, and Min Joon nodded as he stopped beside a parking meter. I stood up in the back of the truck and quickly glanced down each side of the street to check for dinos before I helped Edhara down onto the sidewalk. I jumped down after her and looked up at the store we'd parked beside. It was clearly the place for all things wedding-related, and it had a mixture of traditional Korean outfits and more modern bridal dresses.
Oh, this is the place.
Haewon sighed in a dreamy tone as she got out of the truck and strode over to the store.
It still looks locked. I suppose there is nothing tasty for dinos inside. This is super cute,
Becca gushed as she pressed her nose up against the window.
Oh, I already see 10 things I want to try on.
Min Joon silently strode over to the door and peered inside.
So how do we get in?
Kat asked.
Do we have to smash the window?
That seems so rude,
Becca said.
Maybe there's a back entrance?
It would also be locked, Min Joon said. I will break the glass, and I will cover the hole over when we leave.
The oldest of the three brothers then pulled a cloth napkin from his pocket and wound it around his knuckles. He gestured for everyone to move away from the entrance, and he punched his covered hand through the left-hand side window with a blank and all-business expression. Glass shattered into the store, and Min Joon quickly took another shot to widen the hole. I looked around in case the noise attracted any unwanted attention, but the street seemed quiet other than the gentle howl of the wind.
I can fit through that,
Haewon said as she looked at the damaged glass.
I can see if the door opens from inside.
I thought Min Joon might object to his little sister climbing through sharp glass, but he simply nodded and gave her a leg up. Haewon stood on her brother's thigh before she jumped through the hole like an acrobat, and she landed far away from the broken glass on the other side.
Nice,
Becca grinned, and Haewon strode over to the doorway. There was the sound of something unlocking, and the Korean beauty swung the door open for us. Nice sibling teamwork, I chuckled as we piled into the store. Haewon curtsied, but Min Joon said nothing as he strode over to the light switch on one of the walls. The store lit up, and I was shocked at how big the floor space was. There were male and female mannequins on black display boxes along the walls, and rows of clothing hung up with velvet hangers. The carpet was a patterned beige, and the walls were pale pink. At the back of the store, there were white changing rooms with long mirrors outside, and the cash register had jewelry stands on top. Wow, I laughed. This place looks classy.
Except for the ducks?
Becca screwed up her face in confusion as she poked at a pair of wooden ducks. They were intricately carved and colored to look like a male and female duck, and the two faced one another on a central display stand that seemed oddly out of place amongst all the finery of the shop.
The ducks are very important,
Haewon explained with a solemn nod.
Yes, Oma will have yours already waiting at the base,
Sun-hee assured his sister.
She has kept our grandparents' duck for this very occasion.
She has?
Haewon's eyebrows crinkled, and I was surprised to see her tearing up.
What?
Kat snorted.
Haewon, why are you inheriting ducks?
It's tradition,
my Korean lover said, and she sent me an adorable smile.
Mandarin ducks are believed to mate for life, and Korean couples are gifted ducks on their wedding day as a symbol of their fidelity for each other. It brings harmony to the home.
Oh,
Becca moaned.
That's so cute.
Mate for life is important,
Edhara said in a matter-of-fact tone.
It is respectful to your mate to give them your sperm for life once you have chosen them.
My eyebrows shot up as I glanced at the beautiful alien, and my mind spiraled for a moment. Technically, I'd gifted Edhara with my sperm just last night. So did that mean I'd somehow be allowed to mate for life with this unbelievably sexy and out-of-this-world alien woman? And how the hell would that be possible? Kat cleared her throat after I'd spent several seconds staring at my alien lover, and I snapped out of my thoughts to find all my girls smiling knowingly at me while Edhara twiddled her fingers at her side. Then Minjun sighed in a pointed way and gestured to the rest of the shop.
"Let us get going on this," the oldest brother suggested. "Appa will worry if we take too long."
"Where do we even start?"
Kat asked.
"Well, Jason,"
Sun-hee swung an arm around my shoulder,
"are you thinking of a traditional Korean outfit or a modern suit?"
I looked along the male mannequins and saw there was a wide variety of outfits to choose from. I'd assumed the girls would be the ones who had to make all the choices, but there seemed to be endless choices for the guys, too. "I think I should probably match whatever my lovely bride wants to wear," I decided.
"Good answer," Sun-hee laughed.
"Hey, Won, are we going for traditional or modern?" I asked the Korean beauty. Hey, Won ran her hand over a sparkling beige dress and puckered her lips as she examined the fabric.
"I think my father would like traditional."
"But what would you like?" Tay asked with a smirk. "Father is not here. Maybe we just take whatever you want and say it was all that was left."
"Really?"
Haewon asked with a huge grin. Tae shrugged and looked at Sun-hee, and Sun-hee smiled and turned to Min-joon. Then the oldest brother pursed his lips, and he silently crossed his arms in a way that made me think he didn't exactly approve. But I could have sworn he gave a tiny nod.
"Let's try some stuff on,"
Becca squealed as she grabbed a light blue dress from the rack.
"Haewon, this is important. Which ones do you like?"
The Korean goddess smiled in the cutest way as she started to grab multiple dresses from racks, and she giggled as Becca threw more options into the pile.
"You should get a hanbok,"
Min-joon muttered as he watched his little sister raid half the store.
"They are traditional and important to our culture."
"And a tiara!"
Becca yelled as she picked up a silver headpiece from a display and waved it in the air.
"What is tiara?"
Adhara asked, and Becca replied by placing the small crown onto the alien's silver head.
"Ah, less than helmet."
"But beautiful on you," I assured the lilac woman, and she smiled.
"What's a hanbok?"
Kat asked.
"This,"
Sun-hee said, as he pointed to a beautiful satin garment that looked like a full skirt sewn into a vest. The material was deep red, and there were silver flowers embroidered onto the neckline.
"It's pretty,"
Kat nodded.
"Is that what the girls usually wear?"
"Yes," Sun-hee replied. "But now many weddings have outfit changes. The bride sometimes wears a white dress for half of the ceremony and changes into the traditional hanbok later."
"I heard I'm meant to wear blue," I asked, and Sun-hee nodded. Min-joon sighed heavily behind me, and I turned to see him watching Haewon and Becca race around the store. To my surprise, his tense mouth looked on the verge of turning up into a slight smirk. And when Haewon let out a girlish giggle, a hint of a smile flashed across his face.
Well, any help would be appreciated, I said, as I started to wander through the store.
I'm not good at picking out clothes, so feel free to throw advice my way.
I'd help,
Sun-hee offered, and he started to grab shirts from the rails and hold them up against me.
I think I would take two outfits,
Haewon said as she trotted over to the fitting room with a bundle of clothing.
Like Sun-hee says, I can have a white one and also a hanbok. This will please my family enough.
Yes, you should do this,
Min-joon agreed. Sounds good, I said. Do I get to see them?
Jason, it's bad luck,
Becca scolded.
Could anything else possibly go wrong?
Kat snorted.
The world is full of dinosaurs. I think we've had our run of bad luck.
Don't jinx it,
the blonde Brit groaned. Then the girls gathered around the dressing rooms with mountains of options, and Haewon closed one of the doors to try on her first choices. I quickly gathered a collection of outfits with Sun-hee's help, and I made my way to the changing room beside Haewon's.
Makeover time,
Becca grinned.
I'm so excited to see you looking all fancy.
$100 says anything I buy ends up covered in dino blood, I snorted.
No deal,
the blonde Brit laughed.
There's literally no other option at this point.
I would have left the door open if it had just been the girls with me, but I closed it since my future brothers-in-law were along for the ride. Then I placed the pile of clothing down onto the chair and started to undress.
Are you trying something on?
Haewon called from the next room.
Should we step outside together?
Sure, I laughed as I picked up a pinstripe tuxedo. Sun-hee gave me some options. Let's see what works.
Fashion show!
Becca cheered.
Also, I'm trying to convince Kat to wear pink. Don't you think she would look adorable?
I couldn't help but stick my head out to see Kat scowl at a frilly dress that Becca held up.
Does it have to be a dress?
The soldier asked.
You're not wearing fucking combat boots to a wedding,
Becca snorted.
Look, your skin tone suits this so much.
Kat rolled her eyes, and I stepped back into the changing room as I pulled on my suit. It was a pretty good fit, although the arms were slightly too tight around my biceps. I looked in the mirror and adjusted the jacket, and I hardly recognized myself. It had been a long time since I dressed up, but it was a serious confidence boost to be suddenly wearing an expensive-looking suit, especially since this did seem like something a mobster son-in-law would wear. Ready when you are, I called.
Me too,
Heiwan giggled.
3, 2, 1.
I stepped out of the changing room, and the girls whooped as I gave them a spin. But then I did a double take as I caught my first glimpse of Heiwan. My Korean lover looked absolutely gorgeous in a white satin dress. It was tight at her bust and then flowed out at the bottom with frills and lace. She even had white gloves up to her elbows, and she spun around with a dramatic twirl. Shit, I muttered as the room spun with her.
You look like a fucking Disney princess,
Becca gasped.
Do you like it? Not too much,
Heiwan said as she looked down at the dress.
It is a bit much, I think. Jason looks amazing, though.
This one is kinda tight, I shrugged as I pulled at the arms. Not sure about the pinstripes, either. I do look ready to murder someone in a shady alley, but it doesn't feel very traditional.
It does look a little small, Tay agreed. It's the arms.
Damn your bulging muscles,
Kat sighed.
Next options?
I stepped back into the changing room and picked up the navy blue suit with a white shirt. As I pulled off the pinstripe clothing, I made sure to secure it back on the hanger in case the owners of the shop ever opened again. But it did feel strange giving a shit in this day and age. Then I remembered Adhara's people could be calling this war off any day now. And I decided not trashing the store of someone who was in with Heiwan's dad was probably a good idea. The next pair of pants felt luxurious as I slipped them on, and the material was soft and light and fit me perfectly. I pulled the jacket over the shirt and grinned in the mirror as I admired the sharp tailoring of the outfit. This friend of Kwan's really was a quality guy.
I found the one I love,
Heiwan announced from the next room, and I heard her step out of her changing area. I opened my door to join her, and I gasped as I looked over at her outfit. The last one was beautiful, but this one somehow outdid it. Heiwan stood in a silvery white lace dress with a fitted bodice and an ankle-length skirt. The material glistened under the lights, and it hugged Heiwan's petite figure in all the right places, while still making her look classy as hell. My Korean lover blushed as she twirled for me, and I honestly couldn't take my eyes off my bride-to-be.
Heiwan, you look...
I tried but failed to find the words.
Oh, you look so handsome,
Heiwan gushed as she looked me up and down.
These outfits are perfect,
Becca cheered.
You guys look so fucking cute. Seriously, you're like the little statues on the top of the cake cute.
This suit is very nice,
Tay nodded as he walked around me and examined the fit.
This one was clearly made for somebody who has the same build as you.
Yeah, you look good, Jason.
Kat sent me a lopsided grin.
I vote you start wearing suits all the time. I'm sure they can be adjusted into dino fighting gear.
Nah, tattered and bloody suits are going to be all the rage soon,
Becca sighed.
That suit will adjust itself accordingly. I love it,
Adhara said quietly as she stepped forward. I was surprised to see her blushing as much as Heiwan, and I smiled a bit as the alien rubbed a hand over the sleeve of my jacket. Then she stepped over to examine Heiwan's dress, and the Korean beauty practically glowed as she let Adhara admire her.
Good,
Heiwan asked.
Beautiful,
Adhara corrected.
That is the only word.
I agree, I said as I sent my Korean lover an appraising glance. Heiwan teared up and threw her arms around the lilac woman. And my heart just about burst open as I realized all my girls were smiling more than I'd seen them do in days.
You are also taking a hanbok, Minjun cut in.
Yes,
Heiwan laughed as she turned to admire herself in the mirror.
I found a beautiful one which I will also take. Don't worry, big brother.
It is my job to worry, Minjun replied,
but he managed to actually smile for once as he spoke. Did you ladies find something you like? I asked my girls.
I think we're all sorted,
Becca said.
I'm taking two options because I can't decide. And I've also picked out Kat and Adhara's dresses because they were being hopeless. I like to wear my flight suit,
Adhara said with a stoic shrug.
Yeah, and Jason loves my arse in these fatigues.
Kat groped her own ass cheek and sent me a wink, but Becca rolled her eyes practically out of her skull.
I give no fucks,
the blonde Brit informed the soldier.
He's seen your glorious arse in those pants plenty of times. This is his bloody wedding day. Woman up, dammit!
Honestly, I can't wait to see you all dressed up, I smiled. I bet you look gorgeous in dresses.
Oh, we will.
Becca nodded with a hand on her hip.
I have a feeling I'm going to have to wrestle Kat's boots from her, though.
Kat smirked and strutted off to dote on Hei Wan for a bit. But when she glanced my way, I noticed a sweet blush on her cheeks. That was all I needed to see to know she was kind of looking forward to getting dolled up for my wedding day, and I chuckled as I eyed her fatigue-covered ass one more time. I had no doubt the pretty soldier would look stunning in anything she tucked that perfect body into. Then Becca started to pack folded clothes and an abundance of shoes and jewelry into a large shopping bag. It looked like the girls were going to be taking half the shop home with them, and Tay had started to pack a bag for the guys, too.
Do you need shoes, Jason?
Sun-hee asked as he inspected the bag Tay packed. Yeah, I answered. Just grab whatever looks good for me. Size 12, please. The youngest brother nodded and headed over to the shelf of men's dress shoes, and I looked over at Hei-Wan and watched my bride-to-be spin around in her dress. She giggled as she swirled the skirt around, and I suddenly couldn't wait for the ceremony. It sure wasn't what I'd expected from our trip to South Korea, but I was excited to be a husband to one of my lovers. I started to wish I could marry all the girls, though. And the way they all giggled and doted on Hei-Wan made me wonder if that would ever be something they wanted, too.
We should grab some surprise while we are near the grocery store, Min-Joon said, and snapped me out of my thoughts. We have been lucky so far on our trip, but it will not be long until one of the dinosaurs appears.
I'll get changed, I nodded, and stepped back into the room to pull off the suit carefully. I folded the clothes as neatly as I could and carried them out to place in one of the bags. Hei-Wan carefully took off her white dress and zipped it up in a protective covering Kat found for her. The hanbok the Korean beauty had chosen was a deep red silk, and it had tiny white flowers embroidered around the hem of the skirt. Happy? I asked my fiancé, and she smiled from ear to ear as she looked up at me.
I am so happy,
she purred.
I am very excited to become your wife.
And such a young and sexy one, too,
Becca sighed as she eyed the both of us.
Killer catch, Jason. Really, you're outdoing yourself.
I am, I agreed, as I gazed into Hei-Wan's electric blue eyes. I wanted to drag her into my arms and kiss her until she was groping at my belt buckle, but I decided I should probably wait until her three pit bull brothers weren't watching.
There is a small grocery store a couple of doors down, Tay said as he swung the bag of men's clothes over his shoulder. Let's go there quickly, and then back to the base as soon as possible. Let me help with that,
Sun-hee offered as he saw Becca struggle with her bulging bag.
It looks like you ladies are prepared for the day.
Thanks.
The blonde Brit sighed as she heaved the bag over to him.
We will be there looking gorgeous, but probably with our guns strapped to our shoulders just in case.
I will be in charge of security, Min-Joon assured her as he stuck his broad chest out. There will be no danger at my little sister's wedding.
Thanks, man, I said with a slight bow of my head. I really appreciate that.
Yes,
was all the oldest brother said, and Kat snickered as he turned away. We started to head for the doorway, and Min-Joon grabbed a tablecloth from a display. Sun-hee hurried over with a roll of receipt paper from the cash register, and the two men started to cover over the hole in the window. Then Tay opened the door, and I gripped my sharp gun as we stepped out onto the street. I quickly surveyed the area, and it seemed we were still all alone.
We really are lucky today,
Kat muttered as she looked up at the empty rooftops.
The store is right there, Tay said, as he led the way down the sidewalk. I think maybe we should take all the cans and toiletry items we can find.
I nodded and made sure the girls were all out of the shop before I started to make my way down the sidewalk. The grocery store was two doors down, and the door had already been broken off its hinges. Looks like it's been looted, I muttered as I stepped up to the doorway. I peered inside, but I couldn't see any signs of movement, and I found it was a small store, with only 3 aisles and a freezer at the back.
Let's see if there's anything left,
Kat said, and I slowly headed inside while the others stood ready with their guns. Inside the shop, it stank of rotten meat. I choked as I noticed the small butcher's stand at the right side wall, and there were bugs all over the decayed produce.
That is fucking grim,
Becca whispered as she followed behind me.
Let's make this quick. I can feel my breakfast coming back up.
The shelves were raided, but there were still some cans of beans and pasta left. Minjun took what was left of the toothpaste and toilet paper, and Tae crammed any usable food into his bag.
These are cute,
Becca said as she picked up a packet of panda-shaped cookies.
Those are caramel-flavored,
Haewon chimed in.
We should take them. They are very nice to have as a treat.
Caramel,
Edhara muttered to herself as she looked over Becca's shoulder.
Caramel is the flavor of the small bears?
Not the bigger ones, I grinned. But you should... I stopped mid-sentence as a familiar popping sound hissed through the shop doorway. Then I sprinted out onto the sidewalk as the sound got louder, and I looked up to see a portal quickly opening right above our heads. It looked like our luck had finally run out.